Okay. I want to thank KDNK listeners for tuning in to another Weight Off Your Shoulders theme situation and show. In my studio, I've got Steve Foshan, and he is the person that is, along with Joelle, getting the Strongman Contest organized in Crown Mountain Park. And for people who don't know what that is, that's those super strong guys picking up things like cars and gigantic stones, huge, huge spherical objects. Okay, maybe a barrel or two, I don't know. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But there's, so there's going to be a bunch of guests. Anyway, so Steve, go ahead and explain some of the stuff going on with the right now.
Well, the Crown Mountain Strongman Championship is August 17th at Crown Mountain Park. And if you don't know where that Crown Mountain Park is, it's right in the mid-valley there across from Wendy's off of Highway 82. Simple, easy, great location. Crown Mountain is a great endorsement of what we're trying to do, creating an opportunity for able and disabled body athletes to come together and enjoy the Rocky Mountains. So we have events like the deadlift, the Zercher yoke carry, circus dumbbell, sandbag over bar, which is basically you're picking up a big, heavy 300-pound sandbag or a 200-pound sandbag and loading it on over a bar that's between 48 and 52 inches tall. And then we have a medley where we have to carry two sandbags 60 feet, load them onto a platform, run back, and like you said, pick up an Atlas stone, which is a concrete sphere weighing between 115 pounds and 300 pounds, carry it that same distance 60 feet, load it on a platform.
Somebody is going to be having a ball.
Literally.
That sounds massive, man.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we have some seated, we have disabled and able body athletes. That's what makes our event very unique. It's a fundraiser for Challenge America, which is a nonprofit. We do a ton of work for veterans across America.
I want to personally thank you for that, too. I'm not a veteran, but, people in my family have been.
We need to do more for them.
I totally agree.
But, every little thing that we can do helps out, because one step at a time, one step at a time. So we have a seated division where we have amputees, and then we have people with perhaps a central nervous disorder, say cerebral palsy. So They don't have great control over their muscles. We have created events, just like I said, but adapted them or modified them, I should say, to fit adaptive athletes. Like there's a circus dumbbell. It's typically, you've seen dumbbells in the gym. They're 6 inches in diameter, got an inch and a quarter handle on them. Well, we've created, it's called the circus dumbbell. It's been in Strongman forever. It's got a big 2-inch handle, or some of them have a 3 1/4-inch handle. So there, you can't get your hand around them. And then the bells are between 10 and 14 inches in diameter, bigger than your head. We have seated athletes that will actually do these sitting on the ground, propped against a sandbag, because, in fact, one of our athletes cannot wear a prosthetic. So he is literally walks around on 1 1/2 legs and on crutches. He's joined in on this thing. I think it's turned his life around because it's given him opportunity and challenge that he didn't have before. We're real excited to see that. And they'll actually do a loading medley as well, where they'll pick up some implements, a sandbag, not a circus dumbbell, but an Atlas stone, load them onto a higher raised, they'll pick them up from the ground beside them on one side, load them up onto a basket on the other side. It'd be a great feat of strength and dexterity, and it'll show that, people can overcome all kinds of odds, obstacles, I should say.
Yeah, there's. I would imagine there's some. You have to have some agility and mobility, balance, the idea of control. You are moving. You're not just standing there, just doing a lift or standing at a yoga mat and just. You got to move around.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not. You're not moving weight on a single plane, be it like a squat straight up and down or a deadlift up and down or up overhead. They're twisting, turning. What I really like the most about all of this is it focuses more on what their abilities are as opposed to their disabilities, and with able body athletes working with them, those guys have no excuse because, we get out of bed, we have 2 feet to hit the floor.
Right.
So we're already at a pretty good advantage, and we have a pretty good day ahead of us.
Yeah.
You know, not that a person that has a disability doesn't have a great day ahead of them, but they have a little bit more obstacles to overcome just in their day-to-day life.
And yeah, and it's you know, you're bringing up stuff that, you know, so many people do take for granted. And, you know, and then when you see one of these athletes that's like an amputee or somebody who's, you know, at least missing part of their body, that, or we would say they're missing part of their body compared to us.
Yep.
You have I guess Casey.
Casey Mitchell, yep.
Yeah. Now, is he a war veteran?
He is an Iraqi war veteran amputee. So he'll be, he's got 1.5 legs. He's a below the knee amputee.
Okay.
He'll actually be putting on an exhibition. This man is 250 pounds, 1.5 legs. He'll do a deadlift that's going to be, I think he's going to pull 630 pounds on a, you know, conventional deadlift bar, which is probably double what most people in the gym are pulling on their best day.
That's true. As someone who goes into gyms a lot, you know, I mean, hey, he's doing, you know, well, almost, you know, almost double what I can do.
Sure.
I mean, I think, you know, I mean,
of course, he's a little younger than two of us too, though.
Oh, God darn it. You know how youth is wasted on those young people. Yeah. Darn! Dadgummit drat!
But he also doesn't let anything stand in his way. You know, he was depressed when he got home from Iraq, got 2 years in the hospital, depressed, became addicted to opioids and pain meds and this and that, which brings us up to Friday night before the contest, August 16th, at the Cornerstone Christian Center there at across from Willits. Casey Mitchell, or that one-legged monster, because he's a motivational speaker, he's going to give a talk at 7 o'clock, August 16th.
Okay.
He's going to tell about his drug and alcohol abuse, overcoming depression, overcoming, you know, losing a limb, overcoming PTSD, because he doesn't like the term PTSD. He says because it's made him who he is now. So he doesn't suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. He is just a new edition of Casey Mitchell.
All right.
Because of what he went through.
Yeah, I guess, well, in a sense, he's, you know, almost like reinvented his heart and soul to adapt to a completely different situation.
Absolutely.
That he wasn't born into is my point.
Yeah, he's a great speaker, great guy, and you hear his story. You can't help but admire him, and then, you know, maybe try to be like him. You know what I mean?
My God, hearing the stuff that, you know, that he's had to overcome, it really, I mean, I weep crocodile tears for someone who's just, quote, able-bodied and just doesn't want to do jack, and then complains about it.
Right.
I ought to keep my language to family friendly.
Sure.
But anyway, we're both thinking of a particular word that's like, okay, you know what? Anyway. Yeah, and it's like, please, people get out there. I hope people come and attend it. You know, the location is well known.
Yep. Well, and the great thing is, do the best with what you have. We have it set up so we can have never evers compete to seasoned veterans. You know, we're going to have 4 times World's Strongest Man there.
Brian Shaw?
Brian Shaw, we confirmed yesterday. In fact, arranged his transportation to the event. Great big star. He's a normal guy. Of course, he's 6'8".
I was going to say, what kind of vehicle is he going to fit in here, you know?
I believe it's a big black Yukon that's coming, bringing him up. So he'll be a celebrity guest, but we want to show people what they're capable of, and we want people to focus on their abilities, not any of their disabilities, because all of us, none of us are granted equal. None of us are perfect or 100%. We have something. So do the best with what you have, and be proud of what you're accomplishing, whether it's a novice never ever or you're the 4 times World's Strongest Man.
All right, that's awesome. Now, I think, you know, can people still enter this event?
Yes, you can still sign up. You can go to crownmountainstrongman.com, or you can reach me on the phone, Instagram, Crown Mountain Strongman. There's still spaces available for athletes. In fact, we're still looking, you know, to try to fill up the roster. We're probably close to 30 athletes. We're hoping for 70 was our cap, but we'll be really happy if we hit 40, because it just makes for a good group, and it goes smooth and fast. crownmountainstrongman.com. Look us up. The weights are listed. The events are listed. Weight classes are listed. Because we have men, women, teenagers, CNSD, seated, standing. We have a class for everyone. And if you think you're interested and you don't see where you might fit in, call me. I'll figure out where you fit in, or I'll make a category for you.
Here, take a dumbbell. All right. So some of the events are probably, you know, unfamiliar to some of our audience. You know, maybe some of the ones that are maybe, I guess, a little bit more unusual, if you could maybe describe some of those. You know, I like the Zercher. Nobody knows a Zercher.
That's right. You know. Well, if anyone has ever seen a horse pull or been on a farm and they've seen a yoke that goes over a horse or an oxen, that's how they carry and drag implements. Well, Strongman somewhere along the lines reapplied that and started putting it on a man's shoulder so that they could carry more weight. So a Zercher yoke carry takes a yoke, and instead of carrying it on our back, we put it in the crook of our arm between our bicep and our forearm and carry it in front of us. It's basically a foot race with a yoke. You're carrying it in the crook of your arm for 60 feet as fast as you can go. The heavyweight men are going to be carrying 600 pounds. Some of our lightweight women, I think they're going to carry 200 pounds for 60 feet as fast as they can.
And that's very, very impressive. Yep. Really is. So, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and I was going to say, you know, in the circus dumbbell, it's an odd implement. You don't see a circus dumbbell in a standard gym. You know what I mean?
You see it in the old strongman films with the guy with the handlebar mustache.
Yep. You know? So they're just oddly big, awkward, unwielding. Basically, you're going to have to lift it from the floor to your shoulder. You can use two hands from the floor to your shoulder, but it must be pressed overhead with one hand and then controlled, and you have to wait for a down command.
Okay.
So, and that'll be the most reps you can get in 60 seconds. I think the heavyweight men are doing 170 pounds with one hand. The lightweight women are doing 50 pounds with one hand.
You know, wow.
It's great strength, conditioning, and it shows agility, because you have to be able to balance that thing overhead, but you also have to be able to hold it steady with your core and not fall over and breathe at the same time. Since
now,
it's
do you have to
seconds.
Use the same arm, or can you switch?
You can
arms?
Switch if you're athletic enough. I do it with both hands because then I can get more reps. But a lot of people, it exposes lack of shoulder mobility, and if you get good, healthy shoulders, you should be able to do it with both hands.
Okay,
and then your shoulders won't get wore out.
All right, so you do have to have things like, you know, locking your elbows behind your plane of standing, and you know, that kind of rule that exists in.
You have to control the weight overhead. Once it's, you'll get a down command by the judge. So if you're not controlling that weight, you'll be wandering and chasing it, and you'll see guys stepping around, wandering around with this thing over their head until they get control of it. And then they'll get a down command. They could drop it and lift it again.
And the audience will be wondering, like, gee, I didn't know you had a dance partner.
And it's really fun to watch sometimes. Oh, my goodness. Because some guys, you really want to throw that thing. It's more when I lift it and the way I was taught, it's a throw and a catch. Because I can't press 180 pounds over my head with one hand, but I sure can throw it up and catch it. So, and if you can accelerate straight up, make that dumbbell go straight up and then lock your tricep out and lock it overhead, you know, that's a great lift. To try to press 180 pounds.
Oh, good heavens.
It takes a lot more deltoid muscle and a lot more time. So you're going to get a whole lot less reps, and you'll see people muscle them up, but they won't get many reps. And when it gets heavy,
that's a big mistake. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, Steve, you're describing something like a one-handed power clean.
Yes, absolutely.
With a jump press.
Right, yep.
Yeah, and you immediately have to, after.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, I did a single-handed snatch with a regular barbell a week or so ago, and I suffered a rather good injury. Ugh. Dropped it on my 150 pounds on my head and then on my trap and fell on the floor. But that's a single, regular 7-foot.
And you tried to do it with Olympic one hand?
Oh, I did it.
Oh, man.
But then you tried to do it again, and I dropped it on my head.
I've tried to do that with a straight bar, and it always seems like tilt or something. And if those weights aren't locked in ultra tight, then it just seems to create this weird instability.
It absolutely does. But, you know, that's what makes it challenging. You know, and you don't start, you know, I have a 25-pound bar, a 45-pound bar, a 55-pound bar. I started with a 25 and worked my way up. You know, now I want to get 185 pounds over my hand with one hand. And basically, it's you throw it from the floor and catch it overhead. Yeah. But when it goes wrong badly.
yeah, very wrong.
So then we have a deadlift, but it's not a conventional deadlift. You'll be standing on a 3-inch block. And this is getting back to the events that we're doing, on a 2-inch bar. So you can't quite get your hands around it. And you're at a deficit, so you're in a funky position to do a deadlift. Instead of 9 inches off the floor, you're pulling from 6 inches off the floor. That's our other event. So that is the deadlift, the Zercher carry, circus dumbbell. Then we have the sandbag over bar. You've seen these events in strongman on TV here and there, where they'll carry all kinds of odd implements. The sandbag creates a very unique set of challenges because it moves. The canvas is a little slick. There's no handles on it, and it doesn't hold its shape. So it makes it really fun to try to lift off the floor and load over a bar that's 52 inches high. And you'll do that for reps. So the able-bodied standing athletes will do that. The disabled-bodied athletes will be sitting on the floor, loading it from one side onto a platform, and there'll be multiple people reloading it. So they'll get as many reps with that thing as they possibly can in a minute.
Okay, and so it's kind of like someone taking a bag of salt and tossing them up, or bags of soil or dirt or gardening stuff, and you're trying to just toss it. So
you're trying,
but it's a lot heavier.
That's correct. Yep, about the height of a pickup tailgate. If you're loading 100 bags, you want to do it as fast as you can. So basically, you're going to get one bag, and it'll keep being fed back to you because the ramp behind the bar is angled so that it'll literally roll back to you, and you got to pick it up again. It's kind of like rolling a snowball uphill. You're not going to get there, but it'd be great exercise. It's posterior chain, hands, arms, and cardiovascular shape, because it's easy to do for 20 seconds, but let's do it for 60 seconds and see,
how you anybody going to be wearing a heart rate monitor so we can just see the crazy heart rates?
Not as far as I know, but I know that they've done them before, and boy, when you get well over 200, you're in the danger zone, and that's a bad place to be. If you're an amateur, you probably aren't going to be pushing it to those limits. But some of the very seasoned veterans like myself, I can go until I pass out, and I actually have passed out several times, so I know where that line is. I can go to right before the lights go out and come back, but that takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of fails to figure out where that switch is.
Steve, have you been drinking or something? Or you're walking around like a drunk here in the weightlifting contest. Come on, man. I'm kidding about the drinking. Obviously, sure, you would never do that.
But the good side of that is the more you do exercise, you can get your heart rate up to 200 beats a minute, and my heart rate will come back within 45 seconds back to not a resting heart rate, but probably 80 beats a minute. My resting heart rate's like 47, so if I spike it for 2 minutes, I can run full throttle and then bring it back and then be ready again in 20 minutes to do something else, and that just comes from conditioning.
Right, and so what you're bringing up is something that is not very well getting better known with the high intensity intervalized training, and and different kinds of intervalized workouts. That if you are lifting weights and you are moving them and you're walking around them or anything of that sort, your heart rate's going to go up. And there are people who exclusively focus on only the cardio side, unaware that you get cardiovascular benefits,
from weight training.
Indirectly. Sure. It's not, you're not seeking, hey, I want to get my heart rate up to, 185 today.
Sure.
But it can get there without you focusing on doing that. And so you're cardiovascularly trained. However, your skeletal muscle isn't tuned for cardiovascular work, but your cardiovascular system is in tune, as well as the cardiovascular system of many cardio athletes, maybe better in some cases in absolute terms.
Well, and if you think about it, there's four physical attributes to strength, one being strength endurance, which a lot of people today are just focusing on strength endurance. Strongman, we concentrate on speed strength. Absolute strength, which is your absolute most, and then speed strength. So you want to work on all four physical attributes of strength to become the most well-rounded athlete, not just one or the other. A lot of powerlifters will just work on absolute and explosive, but not speed strength. Where, to me anyways, to be a well-rounded athlete, you want to work on all four of those, because strength endurance will not make you stronger. It'll make you cardiovascularly more fit, but it won't gain muscle weight. But if you work at explosive and speed strength, it will, in fact, work on your strength endurance, improve it.
Yes, I totally agree with that as someone that does some crazy stuff too. And, you know, so for the listeners, if you're tuning in and listening to what we're saying in the content within the context of what where we're going, basically, I'm going to put any words in Steve's mouth. You're suggesting that people get out there and start moving some heavy stuff. And of course, start off, you know, with some a level of common sense and a little bit of little caution and making sure that you're trying to learn and understand what you're doing. And then that way you get the benefits of strength training and the cardiovascular base that most people are usually more comfortable with.
Sure.
And when they just start out going into, hey, I don't know what to do, Steve. I'm in a gym first day, never been in one before. What do I do?
Well, I hate to say it because I own a gym, but you don't need a gym to get in shape. You know what I mean? We're actually bringing a guy out. He's a power lifter from Seattle. And if you watch him, he's Higa Monster, Grant Higa. He's going to be 50 this year, holds up numerous world records in powerlifting. He posts videos all the time of carrying rocks, doing burpees with rocks, but he also does CrossFit like crazy. But now he's incorporated stone lifting, which is a strongman event, mm-hmm. into his conditioning. So he's working, you know, his strength and his speed strength and explosive strength along with his strength endurance. You don't need a gym. I just want people to move, you know, get off the couch, put down the iPad, move, walk, push your bike, take your dog for a walk, move. It's good for us. The body wants to move.
I totally agree with that, and thank you for doing what you're doing, because that it's another aspect or facet of fitness that people may not be aware of. And yes, and you're also correct about not needing a gym. I mean, fitness for a lot of people is right out your front door.
Absolutely.
Step off your front porch. You know, you can hit the road running. You can roll your bike out there. You can, you know, you can go out and do a hike if you're worried and nervous about, you know, being intimidated by the gym situation. Oh, my God, these guys are stronger than me or something, you know.
And you hear that a lot. But then again, look around where we live. We are in the best place in the world for outdoor fitness, from biking, running, swimming, mountaineering, hiking, skiing. Take advantage of it, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So if someone were starting out, say, Steve, I'm not quite ready to go into gym, how would you recommend that they kind of get themselves at maybe like that 30% level where they could feel comfortable coming into a gym and start doing strongman types of exercises? Where would you suggest that they start?
I would say they could start right in their own living room. You know, grab a milk jug, grab a bag of sugar or a bag of dog food, pick it up, put it over your head, you know. Start with push-ups, start with sit-ups, start with sitting down to a lower than, say you have a kid in the house and not a standard dining room table chair, but something that's a little bit lower. Squat down till your butt hits it, stand back up. Do 10 repetitions of that, and you'll be amazing, or you would be amazed how effective just simple body weight movements are. Put your hands on the hood of your car and your feet stretch out, do push-ups. You don't have to lay on flat on the floor if you're just starting. Do it on an incline so that you have a little bit of mechanical advantage.
And so for women, that would be a convenient place for them to start, just getting up simple upper body strength, right?
That's correct. Even though dining room table, kitchen counter, do a couple push-ups off of the counter. You know, air squats. You don't even have to sit to a bench. You know what I mean?
Right.
Bend your knees, keep your chest up, and squat down.
Yeah, and bend your knees down. And if you've got knee trouble, obviously you want to probably limit how deep you go.
Absolutely.
But anything does help. And, you know, you don't have to do, you know, when we're competitors, as you and I have been and are, we do things past the point of where most people really, quote, need to be.
Oh, for sure. You know, I have a great saying that nothing grows inside your comfort zone. So, you know, for guys like you or I, in order to get better, we have to go outside that comfort zone and become comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know, if you want to carry a 700 pound yoke on your back, you're not going to start at 700 pounds, but you're going to start at 5, 6, 7, you know, until you can get comfortable with being, it's basically, it's miserable.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? After a while, I'm, you know, as a fellow competitor, you end up embracing that. And it's not exactly a runner's high, but it's a competitor's, I guess, feeling of internal goodwill. I feel good knowing that I can simply do this.
Absolutely. A feeling of accomplishment through yes. doing that. And if you think about, say, the never ever, the beginner, the housewife, the house husband, whatever, who doesn't work out, if they want to do lunges on their stairs or air squats, as soon as they those, they can realize that they're capable of a little something, and then that little something can lead into something bigger.
Okay. Now, we are at our time limit here, so let me go ahead and, anyway, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. CrownMountainStrongman.com.
All right. Excellent.